السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
After reciting the Shahud, Ta'awuz and Surah Al-Fatiha, Hazrat Khalib al-Masih, the fifth Ayyad Allah Ta'ala ibn al-Aziz, stated, various incidents from the battles and expeditions during the life of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are being mentioned. In relation to this, there is mention in history of the expedition of Uqasha bin Mihsan. This expedition of Uqasha bin Mihsan took place near Ghamr Marzuq in Rabi'ul Awwal 6 Hijri. In the life and character of the seal of the prophets, Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmad Sahib has written, the Holy Prophet sent one of his companions, who was a muhajir, Uqasha bin Mihsan, as the leader of 40 Muslims, to combat the tribe of the Banu Asad. At the time, this tribe had set up camp near a water spring named Ghamr, which was located at a few days' journey from Medina to Mecca. The party of Uqasha travelled quickly and neared Ghamr so as to prohibit them from their mischief, i.e. to put a halt to the mischievous plans of these people. It was discovered that upon hearing news of the arrival of the Muslims, the tribe's people had dispersed here and there. Consequently, Uqasha and his companions returned to Medina and no combat took place. There is also mention of the expedition of Muhammad bin Maslama, which took place in Rabi'ul Thani 6 Hijri. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent Hazrat Muhammad bin Maslama radiallahu anhu to the Banu Tha'laba tribe and Banu Awwal tribes who lived in Dhul-Qassa. Dhul-Qassa is located 24 miles from Medina en route to Rabada. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent Hazrat Muhammad bin Maslama with 10 men, and this group reached there at night. The people there surrounded Hazrat Muhammad bin Maslama and his companions whilst they were asleep, and these enemies were 100 in number. The Muslims were unaware when the enemy besieged them with arrows. Hazrat Muhammad bin Maslama quickly got up and had his bow with him. He called out loudly to his companions to pick up their arms, so they also got up swiftly. This exchange of arrows continued for a portion of the night. Arrows were exchanged for some time. Then the Bedouins attacked with their spears and martyred the rest of them. Hazrat Muhammad bin Maslama was wounded and fell down. He sustained such a wound on his ankle that rendered him unable to move. The people removed his clothes and left. A Muslim happened to pass by the martyrs and said, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." When Muhammad bin Maslama heard him, he moved. He then gave him some food and brought him back to Medina on his mount. There is mention of an expedition tasked with taking revenge against the enemies responsible for martyring the companions of Hazrat Muhammad bin Maslama. This expedition is called the expedition of Hazrat Abu Ubaidah bin al-Jarrah. Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmad Sahib writes the details of this in the following manner. When the Holy Prophet ﷺ was informed of these events, i.e. the martyrdom of the companions of Muhammad bin Maslama, he sent Abu Ubaidah bin al-Jarrah, who was from the Quraysh and was counted among the most venerable of companions, to Dhul Qassa to seek retribution for Muhammad bin Maslama. Moreover, since news had also been received that the people of Banu Tha'laba tribe intended to attack the surroundings of Medina, the Holy Prophet sent a party of 40 able-bodied companions in the command of Abu Ubaidah. The Holy Prophet ﷺ ordered that they travel by night and reach there in the morning. In fulfillment of this order, Abu Ubaidah reached there punctually with his forces when it was time for the morning prayer. They were confused by this sudden attack, and so after a brief confrontation, they fled, disappearing to the nearby mountains. Abu Ubaidah took hold of the spoils of war and returned to Medina. The two companions in this expedition mentioned, i.e. Muhammad bin Maslama and Abu Ubaidah bin al-Jarrah, were both from the most venerable of companions. Aside from his own qualities and ability, Muhammad bin Maslama was also the hero of the incident involving the killing of Ka'b bin Ashraf, a Jewish man, because this mischief maker was brought to his death by him. Muhammad bin Maslama was from the Aus tribe, and in the caliphate of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, he was considered one of his intimate confidants. Therefore, Hazrat Umar would generally send him to investigate complaints about his governors. After the demise of Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu, when the door to internal disorder was opened, Muhammad bin Maslama broke his sword upon a rock and took a staff in his hand. When he was asked the reason for this, he responded, "I have heard from the Holy Prophet ﷺ that when the door to mutual bloodshed is opened between the Muslims, break your sword and lay hidden in your home as a floor lies within the room of a house." This order was perhaps specific to Muhammad bin Maslama or this particular conflict, as on some occasions the combating of internal disorders is considered a very worthy service to the faith. The second companion was Abu Ubaidah bin al-Jarrah. He was amongst the greatest of companions and was also from the Quraysh. His lofty grandeur can be gauged by the fact that the Holy Prophet ﷺ granted him the title of Aminul Millah, i.e. the custodian of the faith. Moreover, after the demise of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, he was also among the two companions whom Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu considered worthy of caliphate. Abu Ubaidah passed away and was martyred by the plague during the caliphate of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. Then there is the expedition of Zayd bin Haritha towards the Banu Sulaym. In relation to this, Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmad Sahib writes, "In this month, Rabiul Akhir 6 Hijri, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam dispatched a few Muslims to the tribe of Banu Sulaym under the command of his freed slave and previously adopted son, Zayd bin Haritha. This tribe resided in the region of Najd at a place called Jamum and had been at war against the Holy Prophet for some time now. As such, this tribe played a significant role against the Muslims in the Battle of the Ditch as well. When Zayd bin Haritha and his companions reached Jamun, which was located at a distance of approximately 50 miles from Medina, they found it to be empty. However, they were able to find the whereabouts of where a portion of the Banu Sulaym were grazing their cattle from a woman named Halima from the Muzayna tribe, who was from among the opponents of Islam. Therefore, benefiting from this intelligence, Zayd bin Haritha attacked the place. This sudden attack caused most of the people to flee, and they became dispersed. However, the Muslims were able to capture a few prisoners and some cattle, which they took hold of and returned to Medina. Coincidentally, the husband of Halima was also among the prisoners, and although he was a prisoner of war, i.e. he was a combatant, considering Halima's assistance, i.e. because of the information she provided, not only did the Holy Prophet ﷺ release Halima without ransom, but also released her husband as an act of benevolence. Thereafter, Halima and her husband happily returned to their homeland. Similarly, there is the expedition of Zayd bin Haritha towards Is. Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmad Sahib writes the details of this in the following manner. The Holy Prophet ﷺ dispatched Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu anhu from Medina once again during the month of Jumadi al-Ula 6 Hijri with the command of 170 companions. The scholars of Sirah have written that the cause of this expedition was that a caravan of the Quraysh was arriving from Syria and that the Holy Prophet ﷺ had sent this squadron for the interception of this caravan. These caravans of the Quraysh were always armed, and whilst travelling between Mecca and Syria, they passed very closely by Medina, and so there was a constant threat. Other than this, these caravans would provoke the tribes of Arabia against the Muslims wherever they passed. Due to this, a dangerous fire of animosity had been ignited throughout the country against the Muslims, due to which their interception was necessary. In any case, upon receiving news of this caravan, the Holy Prophet ﷺ dispatched Zayd bin Haritha to meet it. He moved forward with such intelligence, seizing the opportunity that he was able to successfully reach Is and intercepted the caravan. Is is the name of a place situated at a distance of 4 days' travel from Medina towards the ocean. Since this was a sudden attack, the people of the caravan were unable to combat this assault of the Muslims. They left all their belongings and fled. Zayd captured a few prisoners and took hold of the caravan's load, set off to Medina, and presented himself before the Holy Prophet. During these incidents, there is mention of the capture of Abul As bin Rabi and his acceptance of Islam. The details of this are as follows. Ibn Ishaq writes, before the conquest of Mecca, Abul As bin Rabi departed towards Syria with his wealth and that of the people of the Quraysh in order to trade. When he was completed his business and returned with his caravan, he was met with an army of the Holy Prophet. The companions seized all of the goods in his possession and detained everyone in the caravan. Ibn Sa'd has written that Hazrat Zayd captured this caravan, among whom was also Abul As, and brought them back to Medina. According to Imam Zuhri and Ibn Uqba, Abu Basir and Abu Jandal and their companions seized the wealth of the caravan of Abu As and apprehended him. Their base was Sif al-Bahr. Sif al-Bahr has already been mentioned previously, but not far from Is was the shoreline. The two of them did not kill any of the caravan members, for Abu As was related to the Holy Prophet through marriage. He was a son-in-law of the Holy Prophet . According to one narration, Abul As fled from the army of the expedition, i.e. of Zayd bin Haritha. When the Muslims returned to Medina with the wealth of this caravan, Abul As went to Medina at night. He went to his wife Hazrat Zainab, the daughter of the Holy Prophet, and sought her protection. Hazrat Zainab thus granted Abul As protection. When the Holy Prophet ﷺ led the morning prayer, he proclaimed the grandeur of Allah, and the people also did the same. Hazrat Zainab loudly proclaimed from the women's side, and according to another narration, she exclaimed while standing at her door, O people, I have granted protection to Abul As. When the Holy Prophet ﷺ completed the prayer, he turned to the people and said, O people, have you heard what I have just heard? To which they replied in the affirmative. The Holy Prophet then said, I swear by the one in whose hands is Muhammad's life, I do not know about anything to do with this matter. I did not know about this beforehand. I have only heard it from Zainab just now, what you have heard. The Muslims are united as one against their enemies. The Holy Prophet stated that the Muslims are united against their enemy. Even the most ordinary among them can grant someone protection. According to one narration, the Holy Prophet stated, we also give protection to whoever Zainab gives protection. The Holy Prophet then went to his home, and Hazrat Zainab also followed after him, and asked if the things taken from Abul As can be returned to him. The Holy Prophet agreed to this and said, my daughter, take good care of him, but you should not meet him in seclusion, for he is not lawful for you, because he is a disbeliever and you are a Muslim. The Holy Prophet ﷺ sent a message to the people who participated in the expedition and had taken the wealth of Abul As. The Holy Prophet said, you know full well that this person is from among us, i.e. he is my relative, and you have taken his wealth. As an act of kindness, can you return his possessions? The Holy Prophet ﷺ did not issue an order. Rather, he said that if they returned it as an act of kindness, it would please him greatly. But if they refuse, then it is part of the spoils that Allah the Almighty has bestowed upon them. I will have no objection whatsoever, and you are deserving of it. They replied, O Messenger of Allah, we will return the possessions to him. Ibn Uqba writes that Abul As spoke to Hazrat Zainab about his comrades, that Abu Basir and Abu Jandal had captured and had taken their wealth. Hazrat Zainab spoke to the Holy Prophet about this matter. The Holy Prophet came out and, addressing the people, said, I have had several sons-in-law, one of whom was Abul As. I have always found him to be a good son-in-law. He was returning from Syria with a few members of the Quraysh when Abu Basir and Abu Jandal stopped them and took them as captives. They took all their possessions, but none of them were killed. Zainab has asked me to grant them protection. Do you all grant protection to Abul As and his comrades? They replied, yes, we do. When Abu Jandal heard the statement of the Holy Prophet about Abul As and his comrades, they decided to release all of them and returned all their possessions, to the extent they even returned all the ropes. According to Ibn Ishaq and Muhammad bin Umar, the companions returned all of their possessions, to the extent that somebody was bringing a bucket, another was bringing a water skin, and others were bringing back watering cans, whereas some brought back wood for the camel saddle. They returned everything, including those that were imprisoned. Not a single thing was missing from it. Abul As then took the possessions and went to Makkah. He returned all the belongings to their rightful owners, and then stood up before the people of Makkah and said, O people of Makkah, does anyone from among you have any of their wealth with me that they have not taken? O people of Makkah, have I fulfilled my obligation? They replied, yes. May Allah reward you, for we have found you to be very loyal and trustworthy. Abul As then announced that he had accepted Islam, stating, I bear witness that there is no God save Allah the Almighty, and Muhammad ﷺ is his servant and messenger. By God, there was nothing that could have prevented me from accepting Islam when I was with the Holy Prophet, i.e. when he was in Medina. I could have accepted Islam then. However, I was fearful lest you think that I wanted to consume your wealth. Now that Allah the Almighty has returned your wealth to you, i.e. I have returned your possessions to you, and I am relieved of this duty. I now accept Islam. He then left from there and came to Medina and joined the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmad Sahib has written about this as follows. Abul As bin Rabi was also among the prisoners who were captured in the expedition to East. He was the son-in-law of the Holy Prophet and a near relative of the late Hazrat Khadija from among the Quraysh. Prior to this, he was also captured in the Battle of Badr. But the Holy Prophet ﷺ released him on the condition that when he reached Makkah, he would send his daughter, Hazrat Zainab, to Medina. Abul As fulfilled his promise, but was still personally a polytheist. When Zayd bin Haritha captured him and brought him to Medina, it was night time. But somehow he managed to send word to Hazrat Zainab that I have been captured and brought here. If possible, see if you can arrange something for my release. So just as the Holy Prophet ﷺ and his companions were engaged in their morning prayer, Zainab announced from her home in a loud voice, "O ye Muslims, I have granted Abul As protection." When the Holy Prophet had completed his salat, he turned to his companions and said, "Whatever Zainab has said, you have heard it. By God, I had no prior knowledge of this. But the community of the believers is like a single soul. If one of them grants protection to an infidel, its honor is incumbent." Then the Holy Prophet turned to Zainab and said, "We have granted protection to whom you endow protection. The wealth which was acquired from Abul As during this expedition was returned to him." Then the Holy Prophet entered the home of Zainab and said to his daughter, "Be very hospitable to Abul As, but do not meet him in seclusion. Under the current circumstances, it is not lawful that you be intimate with him." After a stay of a few days, Abul As went to Makkah. But this time, his return to Makkah was not for permanent residence, for he quickly ordered his affairs and set off to Medina, reciting the Kalima Shahada. And upon reaching the Holy Prophet ﷺ, he became a Muslim. The Holy Prophet sent Hazrat Zainab to him without a new nikah, i.e. he granted Zainab permission to resume marital relations with Abul As once again. In certain narrations, it is also mentioned that the nikah of Hazrat Zainab and Abul As was performed anew, but the first narration is more reliable and authentic. Hazrat Abul As' trade business was based in Makkah, which is why he could not settle in Medina. After accepting Islam, he sought permission from the Holy Prophet and returned to Makkah. Due to his stay in Makkah, he was unable to participate in the battles. He only took part in one expedition, which was sent under the command of Hazrat Ali in the 10th year of Hijrah. Hazrat Ali had appointed him as the governor of Yemen upon his return from Yemen. After the passing of Hazrat Zainab radiallahu anhu in the 8th year of Hijrah, Hazrat Abul As did not live long and passed away in the 12th year of Hijrah. There is also mention of an expedition as the Ghazwa of Banu Lihyan. The name of Lihyan and also Lahyan are mentioned. The Banu Lihyan were a branch of the Banu Hudayl tribe. The valley of Asfan, which was 3 manzil, i.e. distance of 3 days' travel from Makkah, and at a distance of 5 miles northeast from there was the valley of Ghuram, where the Banu Lihyan resided. There are varying opinions regarding the exact month and the year of the Battle of Banu Lihyan. According to Allama ibn Sa'd, this battle took place at the very beginning of Rabi al-Awwal 6 Hijri, and according to Muhammad bin Umar, it occurred in Rajab 6 Hijri, while Allama ibn Ishaq states that it occurred 6 months after the Battle of Banu Qurayza in Jumadi al-Awwal 6 Hijri. Allama Hakim states that it took place in the month of Shaban. Allama ibn Hazm mentions that it occurred in 5 Hijri. Allama Zahabi states it took place in 6 Hijri, and some historians have mentioned that it took place in 4 Hijri. Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmad Sahib has concluded that the Battle of Banu Lihyan occurred in Jumadi al-Awwal 6 Hijri, corresponding to September 627 CE. He writes, "Historians disagree with regards to the date of the Ghazwa of Banu Lihyan. Ibn Sa'd has mentioned it to be Rabi al-Awwal 6 Hijri. Ibn Ishaq and Tabari have narrated that it was in Jumadi al-Ula 6 Hijri." He further writes, "On this occasion, I have taken the stance of Ibn Ishaq, deeming it to be the most authentic, and Allah knows best." Regarding the background of the Battle of Banu Lihyan, Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmad Sahib refers to the tragic incident of the companions of Raji and mentions it in this context. On this occasion, 10 innocent Muslims who had been sent for peaceful preaching were ruthlessly murdered by deceit. At the root of this entire mischief was the hand of the Banu Lihyan, which at the time resided between Makkah and Medina in the valley of Ghuram. Naturally, the Holy Prophet ﷺ was deeply saddened by this event. And since the behavior of the Banu Lihyan still remained hostile and mischievous, and the danger that they would become the cause of future mischief against the Muslims still existed, the Holy Prophet ﷺ thought it administratively appropriate to somewhat reprimand them, at least so that the Muslims would be safe from any further mischief. The Holy Prophet ﷺ appointed Hazrat Ibn Maktoum as his deputy in Medina and personally left for this expedition, heading north. He left along with 200 companions and 20 horses, heading north of Medina towards the direction of Syria, even though the Banu Lihyan resided to the south of Medina in the Hijaz, towards the direction of Mecca. The reason the Holy Prophet travelled towards the north was so that he could launch a sudden attack on the Banu Lihyan, and thus they could not flee. This is the reason the Holy Prophet ﷺ did not take the traditional route, and travelling swiftly, they reached Ghuran, where the people of the Banu Lihyan resided, and where the companions of the Holy Prophet had been martyred. The Holy Prophet prayed for the martyrs. The Banu Lihyan became alerted of the Holy Prophet's arrival, and they fled high up into the mountains. Therefore, no one among them were able to be captured. The Holy Prophet remained there for 1 or 2 days and sent various parties in all directions, but no one was able to be captured. Upon reaching his destination, the Holy Prophet ﷺ stayed there for some time. It is narrated that during this journey, when the Holy Prophet reached the place where his companions were martyred, a deeply emotional state overcame him, and the Holy Prophet wept and prayed for these martyrs. It is then written that when the Holy Prophet was unable to launch a sudden attack on the Banu Lihyan due to them being alerted and fleeing to the mountaintops, the Holy Prophet moved forward to Usfan so that the people of Makkah would think that he was coming. And so the Holy Prophet, along with his companions, went to Usfan. According to Ibn Ishaq, he sent 2 riders, and according to Ibn Ishaq, the Holy Prophet sent 10 horse riders under the command of Hazrat Abu Bakr, so that the Quraysh would find out about this and become struck with fear that they were coming. Hazrat Abu Bakr travelled towards Qura al-Ghanim, which is a valley at a distance of 8 miles from Usfan, and then returned back from there and was not confronted by anyone. Thereafter, the Holy Prophet began his journey back to Medina, and after an absence of 14 days, he returned. Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmad Sahib writes, during his return journey, the Holy Prophet ﷺ offered a prayer which the Muslims later began to recite, usually whilst returning from significant journeys. The prayer was, A'ibuna, ta'ibuna, abiduna, sajiduna, li rabbina hamidun, which means, we are those who return to our God. We bow to Him. We worship Him. We prostrate before Him and sing in praise of our Lord. In his later journeys, the Holy Prophet would generally offer this prayer himself as well, and on certain occasions would add the following words, صدق الله وعده ونصر عبده وهزم الأحزاب وحده, meaning, our God fulfilled His promise and helped His servant and put the enemy forces to flight by His breath. This prayer, which scholars of Sirat have mentioned in conjunction with the Ghazwa of Banu Lahyan and the Muhaddithin have also testified to, possess a unique expression. By studying it, one receives the opportunity to understand the emotions which permeated in the pure heart of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. May my soul be a ransom for him in this tumultuous era and what he wished to instill into the hearts of his companions. In this prayer, the anxious desire of the Holy Prophet, which was hidden, was that Allah the Exalted remove the obstacles which were being set up by the enemy to hinder the worship and peaceful preaching of the Muslims. Moreover, gratitude has been paid to Allah the Exalted for in as much as the hurdles for which he had removed thus far. The example of this is like a man who is absorbed in very desirable work and suddenly another person interferes, thus distracting his attention. However, after some time, this hindrance is removed by divine grace, and once again he finds the opportunity to engage in his beloved work. The emotions that would be induced in such a man are those hidden in this very prayer. The Holy Prophet ﷺ expresses here that after having gained freedom from our temporary hindrance, we are now returning to a state where we shall be able to spend time in the remembrance of God and shall gain the opportunity to praise Him. Verily, the same God who time and time again safeguarded us from the designs of the enemy before and brought us into protection. This emotion was so very blessed, it was so attractive, it was so full of peace. It is unfortunate, however, that various enemies of Islam do not refrain from leveling allegations and continue asserting that the real purpose of the Holy Prophet ﷺ and his companions was offensive warfare and materialism. Then an expedition is that of Zayd bin Harsa. This expedition took place in Jumadi al-Akhir, 6 Hijri. The Holy Prophet ﷺ sent Hazrat Zayd bin Haritha in the direction of the Banu Tha'laba bin Sa'd to a place called Tarif. Tarif was the name of a well of the Banu Tha'laba, which was 36 miles from Medina in the direction of Iraq. Hazrat Zayd bin Haritha left with 15 men, and when they arrived at Tarif, they seized all the camels and goats. The Bedouins who resided there became fearful that the Holy Prophet had marched towards them and thus ran away from there. Hazrat Zayd bin Haritha herded the animals to Medina. The people of Banu Tha'laba went out in search of these companions, but they were not able to capture the companions. The companions brought 20 camels in total. They remained outside for 4 days during the expedition, but there was no conflict. The slogan raised by the Muslims on this expedition was Amit, Amit, i.e. destroy. The rest shall be mentioned in the future, God willing. Everyone is aware of the state of the affairs in the world. The conditions in Syria that have arisen are not entirely clear as of yet. Though it seems that a cruel dictatorship has come to an end, we must pray that the incoming government rules with justice. Though they say they will rule with justice, it is generally observed that after coming into power, actions aren't in line with words. May Allah the Almighty protect the Ahmadis in these places The commentators say that people are rejoicing upon the ending of cruelties, but there is no telling what will happen in future. Similarly, Israel is needlessly attacking these areas. It appears that they have malicious intent against the Islamic world. In this way, no country is safe, and we must pray for Pakistan as well in this regard, and as well as Iran and other countries. May Allah the Almighty grant sense and understanding to the Muslims, and that sectarianism and the desire for rule may end, and they all become united. If the conduct of Muslims persists, then how can Allah help such cruel people who kill their own people? Everyone should pray a great deal. May Allah the Almighty protect every Ahmadi from these evils. Ahmadis are not safe from the so-called Muslims, nor from non-Muslims who are against Muslims. May Allah the Almighty have mercy on us and protect us in every way possible. These days, there are numerous storms that are occurring throughout the world. Recently, a storm hit Mayotte, where by the grace of Allah the Almighty, Ahmadis remained safe. The community there is actively engaged in humanitarian efforts, which have also been acknowledged by the government. While others are selling food at exorbitant prices, leaving the hungry without access to food, the Jamaat, by Allah the Almighty's grace, continues to serve and provide meals. Nonetheless, pray that Allah the Almighty protects these islands from natural disasters. Following the Friday prayers, I will also lead some funeral prayers. The first funeral is of Amir Hassan Murani Sahib, a martyr. He was a son of Dur Muhammad Sahib from Nusrat Abad, Mirpur Khas district. Recently, he was martyred. Verily, to Allah we belong and to Him shall we return. He was returning home from the mosque when he was shot and martyred. The deceased was a Musi. He leaves behind his mother, wife, two sons, three daughters, as well as siblings. According to the details, Amir Hassan Sahib was martyred on the morning of December 13th after offering the Tahajjud prayer and Fajr prayers in congregation. He was returning home with his 12-year-old son, Taimur. There is a road between their house and the mosque. As they crossed the road, two unknown assailants on a motorbike, already waiting there with their faces covered, approached them. They asked for his name, and upon identifying him, they opened fire. The martyr was struck by 5 bullets and passed away on the spot. Verily, to Allah we belong and to Him shall we return. The attackers fled the scene afterwards. Miraculously, Allah the Almighty protected his son, Taimur. The young boy showed remarkable courage and promptly informed the community members of the incident. Ahmadiyyat entered the martyr's family through his great-grandfather, respected Nani Baksh Sahib, who accepted Ahmadiyyat in 1937 during the era of Hazrat Khalid Masih II radiallahu anhu. The martyr's grandfather himself did not accept Ahmadiyyat, but the rest of his family, including his uncles, did. The martyr's father, Dur Muhammad Sahib, pledged allegiance in 1964, also during the era of Hazrat Khalid Masih II. At that time, respected Sayyid Daud Muzaffar Shah Sahib was present in the area. The martyr was a farmer, and for some time, he was serving as a security guard in Nusrat Abad. The deceased was honored with the opportunity to serve as local guide of Majlis Qudam Ahmadiyya, and at the time of his martyrdom was serving as Secretary Waqf-e Nau. He had a deep bond of loyalty and devotion to Khilafat. He was a hospitable and gentle-natured individual. His mother expressed great pride, saying, "It is a tremendous honor for us that my son attained martyrdom. If I have to sacrifice another son for the community, I will gladly do so." She is a mother who possesses immense courage. The martyr always cared for his siblings, especially after the passing of his father. He never turned away a beggar empty-handed. There was a non-Ahmadi blind woman in the neighborhood, and he would take care of her goats and her children. He would take her children to school. He was regular in offering the prayers in congregation. Amir Sahib of Mirpur Khas district writes that he would leave everything else to perform duty at every Jamaat program. He says that for the last month he observed a distinct difference in the deceased. On a daily basis he would arrive to open the mosque before Fajr. He would offer voluntary prayers. It was as if a new Amir Hassan was born. Khalid Bloch, who is a teacher in Jamia and is related to him, says that bravery and being beneficial for others were some of his foremost qualities. Whenever he met him, he would want to discuss matters pertaining to spirituality, about God, and often how to improve the connection between God and man. Another missionary writes that he had good relations with the non-Ahmadis in the area. Upon his demise, people came from far and wide to express their condolences, and everyone said that he was loving and compassionate to everyone. He would support everyone during difficult times. May Allah the Almighty grant him forgiveness and mercy, and elevate his station, and keep his children under his protection and care. The second funeral I will mention is of respected Maulana Abdul Sattar Rauf Sahib, a missionary of the community in Malaysia. He also recently passed away at the age of 75. Verily to Allah we belong and to him shall we return. He had the honour of accepting Ahmadiyyat on 15th of January 1973. He enrolled in Jamia Ahmadiyya Rabwa in October of 1977 and completed the Mubashir course. He had the opportunity of serving in various countries. In 1985, he was appointed as a missionary in Indonesia. Then he was sent to Fiji, where he remained for a few years. Then he went to Indonesia, after which he was sent to Malaysia, where he performed tabligh. He was then appointed to Vietnam, where he remained for some years. Then he had the opportunity of serving in Malaysia. He rendered great service. He is survived by his wife, one daughter, and three sons. Those who knew him have written that he was completely devoted for the sake of the Jamaat, and he would also enjoin members of the Jamaat to make sacrifices and dedicate their lives. He was very loving and would cover the weaknesses of others. Many people had the opportunity of joining the Jamaat through his efforts in propagation. He had profound love for the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whenever the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was mentioned, his eyes would fill with tears. Whenever he was told to go to another country to serve the Jamaat, he would go on without his wife and children without any worry. He was always prepared to offer sacrifices for the Jamaat. May Allah the Almighty grant forgiveness and mercy to the deceased, elevate his station, and enable his children to carry on his virtues.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu وَمَنْ يُضْلِلْهُ فَلَا هَادِيَ لَهُ وَنَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَنَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ إِبْعَادَ اللَّهِ رَحِمَكُمُ اللَّهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم ودعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.